Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York, and welcome to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Roy G, here with Bruce Hall, streaming live from his basement.
Yeah, man, I'm in my basement watching Andy Murray kick the crap out of Roger Federer. You know, if Federer was going to give him one kind of as a nice gesture, and, you know, I could see that happening because Federer beat him in Wimbledon and kind of embarrassed him. We got to see Andy in tears, and Andy's a good kid. And but if he's going to do that, I guess it makes sense that he do it really quickly because that's what it seems like he's doing. He got broken twice in the first set, lost 6-2, and he's already been broken in the second set. He's down 2-0. And I'm Bruce Hall, and you're listening to our show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, here on WFAS. Roy, you know, I was pretty verbal yesterday. Or was it yesterday when they played Lithuania?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
You know, I can't keep these days straight with the Olympics. I mean,
it's every going
day,
nonstop.
Every day is the same, you know. But it's getting good, and it was real good last night. We'll talk about Michael Phelps later a little bit. We'll talk about these unbelievable girls that swim. There's a 15-year-old girl, Katie Ledecky, who goes to a private school in downtown Washington,
yep,
D.C., like 20 minutes from my house. And she just blew the field away and broke Janet Evans's record that stood for 30-some years. Mm-hmm. She's 15.
Yep.
Oh, she's going to be a sophomore in high school, and she just won a gold medal. And to me, that is just incredible. And there's a lot of girls that are doing that. These swimmers are just phenomenal. The missile, she's unreal. But we'll talk about them later. But hey, Roy,
yeah,
give me your take now, mm-hmm, right now, in this first segment, about what you thought happened in that damn United States-Lithuania game.
Well, first, Lithuania is a very good basketball team. They're ranked fifth in the world in the FIBA world ranking. So this is not, you know, this is not a no-name country with a little basketball team.
Yeah, okay, I hear you.
I mean, everyone's...
I didn't mean to interrupt, but they're playing an NBA All-Star team.
That's true. But this Lithuanian team is very good. And they've been playing together for a while. And this is not Duke barely beating, you know, Northern Virginia Community College. Okay, this was a real basketball team, a very good basketball team who got hot and was shooting the lights out. Now should it have been this close? No, I mean it shouldn't have been this close. Well, I mean, yeah, Lithuania was shooting good early, but they shot 60% on the game. So I mean, it was they shot the lights out, and the United States is not a very good shooting basketball team. They have a couple shooters on the team. They have Kevin Love and Durant. And other than that, they don't really have any shooters. They're more of a drive to the hole kind of team. And when this team plays that role, that drive to the hole and that fast break pace, they're going to expect to go to the line. And when you go to the line and you shoot 61% from the charity stripe, you're going to be in a close game, especially when the other team is shooting 60% from the field.
Let me ask you a question. Did you find out what the line was yet on that game?
I haven't been able to find a line.
I want to say I saw like 28 to 31 points on that game. And I got to tell you, you know, there's a reason that they – because I didn't think they even tried – in the first half. I watched them play. I mean, but then again, one of the reasons that I'm not a big NBA fan like you are, mm-hmm, is because 7/8 of the games you go to during the regular season look like that. They don't do anything till the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They're happy to, hey, they're happy to make their 7 and 8 figure salaries. with all the meal money they get and everything. And the, you know, and of course they have to work hard at practice at shoot around, you know, when they're on the road for an hour, they have to shoot and run plays or whatever. But you know what? That's why I don't like the NBA, because they, to me, look like they just cruised for a period and a half. And I want to say with 6 minutes left, Lithuania was up two.
Yeah, yeah, they were up in the fourth. And what I
thought was, how far from the realm of possibility is it that everybody in the world that knows these guys just bet on Lithuania because they were told to? And I'm not making any accusations, but when you're in, could you imagine being in Las Vegas and having tons of athletic events in Las Vegas and being able to bet on every single one of them? There's a reason in Las Vegas that they don't let UNLV, you can't bet on UNLV football, basketball, nothing. You know, you can bet offshore, you can do all that stuff, but you're not allowed to bet in Vegas. In London, you can walk up to any number of bookmakers, you know, little hodls, whatever they call them, you know, little shops, and they've got literally, you just go in there and make a bet on an event that's happening down the street. And I just, you know, we've already had certain instances where games have been thrown. Somebody bet on the other team. Was that badminton or was that somebody else?
That was, it happened in badminton, and then Ireland, it didn't happen in badminton with betting. In badminton, they were throwing the events in order to get a more favorable seed.
Thing in another event. It was, somebody else did it.
Yeah, I'm not sure which event it was, but I know Ireland got in trouble for betting.
Yeah, and they bet on the other team. Now, that's the worst possible thing you can do.
Yeah.
Because that means, A, you're shaving points, basically. And people have gone to jail in the United States for shaving points. It's documented heavily. There's been a number of them. You know, the most recent, I mean, there was a point-shaving scandal at a small Division I college somewhere in the United States this past year. You know, they hush it up pretty good. But the big one was the NBA referee that ended up doing like 4 years in jail. Mm-hmm. I think he's out now. But you listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. And I'm just going on about this because this is how my mind works. You know, I do handicap pro football. I handicap college basketball in the spring when it gets good. I handicap baseball. Matter of fact, I got hammered last weekend. But, you know, with my picks. And then, you know, all week I've been trying to get back where I started, and I'm just about there. Saw a great game last night, Roy. Unbelievable game.
Yeah, the Nationals game, right?
The Nationals made three errors in like five innings and two or three mental errors. They were playing so bad. I mean, the Washington Nationals have a great – we're talking baseball now. They have a – and, you know, we're talking in the same division as the New York Mets. Now, I got to tell you something. New York Mets went to San Francisco and swept the Giants, my Giants. They swept them. It was like the Giants just went to sleep. You know, they made a deal for Hunter Pence where they sent Tommy Joseph, their number two prospect in their organization, a catcher who just turned 20 years old. He might still be 19. He's that young. He's from Scottsdale, Arizona, signed out of high school. But the kid has power. The kid throws out 50% of the runners at the double-A level. They let him go. And they also let Nate Shearholz go, who I've been a Nate fan forever, but he was struggling this year because the Giants went out and got Melky Cabrera and Angel Pagan, and there just wasn't going to be enough time for Nate Shearholz to play ball in right field. And they sent Nate to Philly, and when Philadelphia was in Washington this week, Nate hit a bomb. I mean, he hit a bomb into right field. He made a sliding catch that was incredible. But I started to talk about the Nats game last night. They scored six in the eighth inning on a three-run bomb by Danny Espinosa and then Bryce Harper. I'm in the car. It's the eighth inning, and I'm almost back to the Reston Town Center for dinner because I leave at the end of the seventh inning every game.
I know you do.
Game.
But wait, we'll get into that when you get back. Right. When we get back. Don't you have something to tell us, though, before?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to tell you about this. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back. Shake humble hands with the far
away. We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And we're going over the Olympics, the Olympic basketball.
Real quick before we talk about that, Roy. I'm looking on Twitter and something just came up. As everybody knows, Andy Reid, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, he had, you know, his two sons, and everybody knows, I've talked about this several times. He has two sons. Both of them went to prison for dealing drugs, and hell, one of them got in trouble in prison for bringing drugs into the prison a couple years ago. Evidently, Garrett Reid, Andy's son, was found dead in his room at training camp.
Oh, my God.
After last night. And our prayers go out to Andy Reid and to his family. You know, Andy is a very good man. He's, there's nothing that you can ever do that's more painful and worse than burying your children. And unfortunately for Andy and his family, this is something they're going to have to do. And I just wanted to make sure that, everybody it's out there that we'll say a prayer. We'll please say a prayer for Andy and for his family and for his other son who, I don't even know what caused the death, but you have to think, the worst, that it was probably drug related, but hopefully it wasn't. Maybe it was just a bad heart or something like that. But either way, a kid in his mid-20s is dead, and that's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
Hell, he's your age, Roy, and it's, when you're that age, you think you're invincible sometimes. And unfortunately, none of us are invincible at any age. You're only on this earth for a very short time. And, so, once again, Andy Reid's son, Garrett, is dead. And I'll get his age and some more particulars on that as the show goes on.
Real quick, I wanted to interrupt you. There's also,
sure.
I know you guys don't really care about soccer, but there was also a sad passing last night of Columbus Crew midfielder Kirk Urso.
Right.
It's undetermined. He was found dead last night.
Wow.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
That's
just
horrible.
He played DC United last night.
Was in his hotel?
No, he was at home with an injury. So unfortunately, you don't know what the situation is. Fortunately, we just don't know what the situation is with that. But when you're rehabbing an injury, there are 10 million things that can go wrong. And
well, not only that, you suffer from depression. A lot of remember the guy? There was a wide receiver from Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I guess, was on the IR. He was on the PUP. Physically unable to perform list, and he was found dead in a car of a self-inflicted gun wound this past week at his high school, where he went to high school, in the parking lot, and it was very sad. And I hate talking about this, and I really don't want to. We'll spend some time on it later because it just blows me away how often it happens. And it's sad. Hey, Roy, let's do this. Let's talk about that basketball game, mm-hmm. and then let's talk about who they have next, and let's make some predictions on a score for the next game.
Okay, yeah, well, that game, like you're saying, was much closer than it should have been. But the U.S. was just coming off of the biggest winning margin in Olympic basketball history, beating Nigeria 156-73. So it is very possible that they took this Lithuania team lightly. And like I've already stated, it was a very good Lithuania team. They were, like I said, they were number 5 in the FIBA World Rankings. And they did trail in the fourth quarter, which, like I said, had a lot to do with the fact that they couldn't hit free throws.
They
went 19 for 31 from the charity stripe. They took twice as many free throws as the Lithuania team. And this Lithuania team was shooting 63% from the floor, you know, 44% from three-point range. That those numbers are sick. So this Lithuania team was a very good shooting team, and that's something that the U.S. has struggled with. I mean, they shot the lights out against Nigeria in that huge victory.
You know,
but
Dematha High School would probably shoot the lights out against Nigeria. Let me ask you a question. Who is the best team in the tournament besides the U.S. now?
Spain.
Now, didn't Spain lose to Russia yesterday?
Yeah, Spain lost to Russia 77-74.
I mean, they were up by 20-plus points early on because I was watching that game. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, now I am with, or at least spending some time this week, with a group from St. Petersburg, Russia, who are in Washington, D.C., with three baseball teams, a group of 8 to 10-year-olds, a group of 12 to 14-year-olds, and a group of U16 kids. I'm paying a lot of attention to Russian things right now because I'm trying to get these guys some information about what's going on because they're playing ball every day. The Washington Nationals, by the way, did a great coaches clinic for these guys the other day, and they were literally with them for like 4 hours, which was I want to thank the Nationals for doing that. Spain, now, how's this going to work? If when you lose, do certain numbers of teams qualify in their pools? Is it more than one team that wins a pool or two?
Well, it's they're separated into two groups. There's a group A and a group B, and it's similar to World Cup soccer, whereas the top teams in each group move on to a knockout round, as you could say.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that it's the top two teams from each division, but
right
now France and Lithuania are tied, and there's a point system as well. So France and Lithuania both have 7 points.
Very similar to World Cup soccer, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. Spain can't really afford to lose another game, can they?
No, not really, no.
Well, what about – now let me ask you this. What about Brazil and Argentina? Are they not – that good anymore? Because I can remember one year Brazil had a great team.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's Argentina and France that have 7 points, not Lithuania.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Argentina's very good. France is the team that I thought was going to get a bronze. They're still in it. Brazil, they have a couple pros on that team. They're pretty good. And then Spain has the Gasol brothers.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I mean, and shoot. And they also have another guy that's really good. Their point guard is phenomenal. Hey, because I saw them play and win a game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's getting real good right now. You know what I'm watching, and I won't miss 1 minute of it? United States women's soccer. Mm-hmm. They have such a good team. And I played soccer at a pretty high level, and I coached soccer when I first got out of college. They play the best defense I've seen ever for a women's team from the United States. I don't know how anybody's going to score on them. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I haven't seen, I haven't seen Brazil. They've got to have a good women's team. Evidently, New Zealand was supposed to have a pretty good team, and we beat them 2-0 the other day. But it really wasn't that close of a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hope Solo, if anything ever gets by their last line of defense, on defense, Hope Solo seems to be right there waiting on the ball anyway. So, but I've enjoyed watching that.
They're good.
The men's team, I'm not exactly sure, and I'm scared to go online here because Roy already told you, I'm doing this show from my house today, and I'm doing it, and I'm making sure I don't cut you guys off.
Please don't.
This day.
Bruce is very
computer
illiterate.
If you need any information on men's soccer, just ask me, Bruce.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah,
I'll be your internet.
Well, Matt, tell me, how is the men's team doing? Are they undefeated, or did they not lose
again? The men's team did not actually qualify for the Olympics.
Yeah, that's what I say. I don't think.
Well,
that
explains why I'm watching women's soccer, for crying out loud.
No, women's soccer in the Olympics is big.
Yeah,
no, I know. Well, listen, our
World Cup is where the men do their thing.
Yeah, our women's team is always good. You know, it goes all the way back to Nomar Garcia Parra's wife, right? What's her name? Mia Hamm, for crying out loud. You guys, you're a soccer guy and you don't know who Mia Hamm is?
I know who Mia Hamm is. I didn't know that he was married to Nomar.
My daughter's got a signed picture of Mia Hamm in her room.
I know who Mia is. I stay off TMZ, though, Bruce. I don't know who people are married to.
Well, it's kind of like on ESPN when that happens.
Is it, though? I don't know. You have a daughter, so I guess you're into that celebrity marriages and divorces.
Well, listen, my daughter's got every damn magazine known to man about who's dating who. It's ridiculous.
You're very up on the Cosmo.
Yes, I am.
Rumors
I'm Bruce
these days.
Hall. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm saying I'm up on that crap. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking about the Olympic basketball team. Well, let's get into something else before we get too far. Mm-hmm. You know, I got several emails, and I got a couple of texts, and I got a couple of tweets from people who are listening to our show. And by the way, if you want to tweet me, just tweet me at Bruce Hall Sports or hashtag BH Sports. For Roy, it's, what is it, Roy, at Sportsman Cave.
You got it.
Tweet us, man. I'm sitting here right now with my phone looking at tweets now that are coming in. People, you know what they're telling us? Make sure you give us your picks. Well, I don't know why they want my picks, because last weekend I was terrible. But Roy, you did pretty good. And by the way, we did have a little wager on lunch on our little thing that we're going to do again this week. And if you call, Roy, what's the number they need to call?
It is 240-317-7294.
Yeah, give us a call. Give us a call at that number, and you can play right along with us.
Yeah, leave a message. We can't take live phone calls right now.
Yeah, we can't take calls.
But,
you're on the line.
If they leave a message, we'll play it on the show.
And that's for sure. But let's talk a little bit. Let's just go to Major League Baseball just for a second. Now we're going to come back to do this, but we're going to give you our picks in the American and National League right now. And it wasn't really, you know, there's some teams out there that are fairly hot. Cincinnati Reds, we've talked about them. In the National League Central Division, you know, these guys have won 5 games in a row. They've won 9 out of their last 10. I want to say they've won 15 out of 18. Now, if I was Clint Hurdle, and I'm definitely not Clint Hurdle. I'm not that fat. But, as a matter of fact, I'm not fat at all. I'm actually in great shape.
Big boned, right?
Yeah, I'm big boned. But here's what I'm saying. Without their all-star, and maybe one of the top players in baseball in the last several years, Joey Votto, they've had a run like nobody's business. They're 5.5 games out in front in the Central, Cincinnati is. Now, they have Arnolas Chapman throws 102, 103 miles an hour at times. They hit Andrew McCutchen with a first pitch up 3-0 in the ninth inning the other day, night before last. I would have cleared the bench. I'd have been out there. I'd have been looking for Dusty. I'd have dragged him from home plate to the outfield grass and beat him within an inch of his life if they let me. Of course, they would have broke it up. But we're going to talk about this soon. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to protect you, represent you, and protect home ownership in general. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. I'm just admiring my new t-shirt.
What does it say, Roy?
It says 1230 Talk News WFAS. I got a polo, too. Pretty sweet.
Well, how did you get that? Did
well, I actually show up to work, so there's a big box sitting right next to me.
Oh, hey, Matt, let's not go there, Roy. I've shown up for work a hell of a lot more than you have. Matter of fact, If I hadn't have been in dire straits this morning with what we call the Green Apple Quick Step, where I come from, I wouldn't be here. I just didn't want to have to drive up there and stop every, like, 5 minutes.
My bathroom thanks you, by the way.
Exactly. And, it's just, it's one of those things. Hey, I gotta lay off the chicken wings late at night.
Yeah, you should do that.
That'll
stop
do it.
No more midnight trips to Hooters, Bruce.
Hey, listen, we're reporting that Garrett Reed, son of Andy Reed, was found dead in his dorm room at Lehigh University at Eagles training camp this morning. I'm sure there won't be much going on up there today. This is just horrible news, and our prayers are with Andy and his family, and I've met Andy Reid, and I've met a lot of the coaches with the Philadelphia Eagles because Brian Mitchell played there for 2 years, and another good friend of mine, Raleigh McKenzie, who is now one of the chief scouts with the Oakland Raiders, because his brother Reggie is the general manager now, his twin brother. And I met Andy, and Andy couldn't have been nicer to me. We talked for probably 10, 15 minutes, and we talked football. And, I'm sure he hates talking football with just some guy, but, we were talking about his coaching staff, and we were talking about, how he felt about the coming season. And I think it was after an early game with Washington, and I just happened to be down there. Had a sideline pass, and I get more sideline passes, by the way, on the road with the Washington Redskins than I do with the Redskins, because I don't make any bones about it. I hate Dan Snyder. I hate the administration of the Washington Redskins. And oh, by the way, did you read this week, Roy? After training camp the other day, which is at their Ashburn facility still. And next year, it's going to be in Richmond, Virginia.
Yep.
Go with that. So everybody's got to drive an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours to go see the Redskins instead of a half hour to an hour now.
Well, you know why they're doing that, right?
Because they're building this super facility over in Ashburn.
Yeah. And the city of Richmond is going to give them some money to do that.
Of course.
I think it's like $8 million or something like that in order to help build it.
And I just don't understand it also, because they built that huge bubble out there, mm-hmm. too, the indoor facility.
Well, they're doing more upgrades to – because the Redskins use Ashburn as their everyday practice facility as well. So it's not just an off-site place. Like the Ravens, so to speak, they moved their training camp to training cramp, yes.
It's been hot out there.
It's a very dangerous thing.
I get training cramps all the time. That's why I never train anymore. I'm Bruce Hall, and I hate training cramps.
But the Ravens training camp is in Owings Mills, and they don't even fans can't even come out to watch the team. So for the Redskins to have theirs at Ashburn, and they said that yesterday was Fan Appreciation Day, and ESPN made a big deal out of it, saying that fans were allowed to come and all that nonsense. But that's every day. The fans are allowed to come out to Ashburn every single day. So I don't know why that it was just a big deal yesterday. But yeah, they are moving to Richmond.
Yeah, they are.
But
I think it's just going to be for 1 year though.
No, it's for. I think it's for
five.
Yeah, it might be 5 years. I wrote a blog on it. You can go to sportsmancave.com and
read
my blog
on it. I hate reading your blogs. They're just too intense.
they get intense.
I'm just kidding. I love your blog.
I take pictures of myself pointing at people to make sure that they read them.
Hey, you're like Mick Jagger. You're pointing. You're doing the pointing now.
Right.
Hey, listen. Getting back to the Redskins, let me tell you what Dan Snyder said this week. He said after a practice, everybody's got to be patient here in Washington. Well, he's owned the team for 14 years. And they've been to the playoffs once. He's an idiot. They're going to go 6-10 again this year. And oh, by the way, two of their best offensive linemen are down right now. And they were thin on the offensive line to begin with because for some reason they decided to pick a backup quarterback with a fourth-round pick instead of an offensive lineman or a defensive back, which could make the team and make a difference. Here's the deal, and I said this on Twitter yesterday. It's simple math. okay? In my opinion, it's simple math. They, you know, since he's gotten here, they've gone what? 6-10 and 5-11. They're going to go 6-10 at best again this year. If we have to wait 3 years to see Robert Griffin III learn this offense, and by the way, draft an offensive line, trade for an offensive line, get a defensive backfield that can actually cover people, he's going to be here for 6-7 years, and we're going to be at the bottom of the NFC East every year. Now, this isn't something, Roy, that you have to worry about if you're a New York Giant fan. The New York Giants, that blue-collar bunch, that road warrior mentality, great coached, great administrated team, although I'm getting to where I can't stand John Mara. He's kind of not a nice guy. I almost called him a prick, but I won't call him a prick. Yeah, I'm not going to call him a prick. But here's the thing about the Giants. They know how to run an organization. Guess who else does? You know, Andy Reid, who, you know, unfortunately has lost his son this morning and has to deal with that. But everybody has picked the Eagles, all of the talking heads, you know, in the sports industry, have basically said they think the Eagles will go 11-5 or 12-4 this year.
Yeah, well, how many people said that last year?
Yeah,
I'm not sold on that. I'm not as big on the Eagles organization as you're making it out to be.
Roy, I'm not with that.
Okay.
Yeah, you're talking to a guy that – do you even pay attention to my
no, –
when I talk about football?
I hear you.
Last year I picked everybody to be 8-8. I came damn close to that.
Yeah.
Because the Giants went 9-7, won the division, and ended up – if the Redskins had been halfway decent and beat the Eagles once, they'd have been 7-9. If they'd have beat somebody else they should have lost to, they'd have been 8-8. It was a pretty easy time, but it's a very competitive NFC East. And I'm telling you right now, the Redskins are going to suck again. They're not going to win more than 5 or 6 games. I see the Eagles winning 9 or 10. I see the Giants winning 9 or 10. I see the Cowboys winning 8. Does that sound accurate to you?
Yeah, sounds about right.
I think it is. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Hey, you know what we started to talk about, and I got off on a tangent? And by the way, that was because we found out about Andy Reid's son dying this morning. Let's talk about the – we're going to make our picks. Have you got the National League games there? I'll read them off to you. I'm going to read them off to you.
I have them. Just make sure we're on the same page here because I was probably on a different –
No, today's
than you are.
Today's National League games, I'm looking at the Washington Post, which is a piece of crap sports page, and occasionally they'll even have a pitcher in there that's been traded to another team on the wrong team. But Strasburg, your boy, pitches today in D.C.
Yep.
I think it's a 135 start. He goes against Ricky Nolasco of Miami. Ricky's having not a good year. He's got a 4.90 ERA. When he starts, the Miami Marlins are 9-12. When Strasburg starts, they're 14-7. Who do you like in this game?
I like Strasburg in the Nationals.
Well, he's minus 240, which means you'd have to play $240 to win $100. Are you still going to take him?
I mean, I don't like – this Miami team is terrible.
So you take Strasburg.
I'm either taking Strasburg or I'm passing. So if you're making – you know, if you're twisting my arm here –
Well, no. You pick who you want because this is something that we're going to document like we do every week.
I'm writing it down.
I'm passing on the game because I think after last night they may let down. You got the Pirates at the Reds. You got Burnett, who is the team is 16-3 when A.J. Burnett starts for the Pittsburgh Pirates. They got beat last night by one run, and Homer Bailey goes for the Reds today. I had Homer Bailey earlier this week. He got beat. He was one of the picks I made last week, Roy, and he got beat. I'm taking A.J. Burnett and the Pirates today. Who are you taking?
Me too. I got the Pirates, even though they let me down last week.
They let me down. Yeah, they let me down too.
I got them again.
Now, here, the Astros are at the Braves. The Astros, until last night, Roy, were 3-28 their last 31 games.
Is there a worse team in baseball than the Astros?
No, but let me repeat those numbers. They were three wins and 28 losses in their last 31 games, and they beat Atlanta last night and beat my pick, thank you very much, Houston. You suck, you suck, you suck. I'm not taking this game. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to pass on it. I do like Medlin. He's pitching for the Braves. He's a relief pitcher by trade, but he's got a 2.43 ERA. Norris has got a 5.02 ERA, and he pitches for Houston, and the Braves lost last night. Come to think of it, I'm taking the Braves. Who are you taking?
Yeah, I got the Braves.
I'm going to take them too. Hey, Cliff Lee, who shut out the Nats earlier this week. He's 2-6 this year with a 3.73 ERA.
Is he a Dodger now?
No. Cliff Lee.
Yeah.
You know what?
He got waived.
Yes. Well, he got waived, but he didn't get picked up.
He got picked up by the Dodgers, and they're in talks.
Well, then
right now.
You know what? He's not pitching for the Phillies today. Then I told you the Washington newspaper was terrible. They've
sure.
got Cahill. Let's pass on that. Timmy Lincecum is going for the Giants today. At the Rockies, the Giants have scored 27 runs in two games. I guess that cigar humidifier that they have up there, the humidor, is not working anymore, obviously, because they're knocking balls out of the park. I'm going to pass on the game, though, because I just can't play Timmy and look right. I just can't do it. You know, I don't think he's back yet. He's 5-11 with a 5.62 ERA, and he is, Roy, a two-time Cy Young Award winner. I'm passing on the game.
Yeah,
how about you?
I'm going to pass on that, too, just because it's in Colorado, and when Lincecum is off, balls will fly. So.
All right, listen, Harvey is pitching for the Mets. This is that kid that throws 96 to 98 miles an hour for the Mets. He's 1-1 with a 1.59 ERA. He's going up against an old buddy of yours, Jason Marquis, who was horrible everywhere he went, although he did beat the Nats this year. I'm going to pass on that game. Are you going to take the Mets? I know you like the Mets.
I do. Yeah, I'll take the Mets.
All right, good. Cubs at the Dodgers. All right, I'm going to say right now that Aaron Harang probably isn't pitching for the Dodgers. I bet it's Cliff Lee. You know what? I bet it is Cliff Lee. I'm going to pass on that because we don't know who's pitching. Brewers are at the Cardinals, Roy. This is the last game before the break. Estrada is pitching for the Brewers. Loesch is pitching for the Cards. I had the Cards last night. I'm taking the Cards today. Right now, they're the best hitting team in baseball.
Yeah, I got the
How
Cardinals.
How about you?
I got the Cardinals.
Are you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that's great. All right, we'll be back. Live read. All right, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm on the air with Roy G. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be back with more baseball. Follow the sun tonight, reminiscing of the times of life, for each every other, the feeling stronger, shocking laughter.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So, Bruce, through extensive research, many hours spent in front of the computer and in textbooks, I have come to the conclusion that Cliff Lee has been waived by the Philadelphia Phillies. He has been claimed by the Los Angeles Dodgers. But as reports go, they have until today to finalize trades
right
with the Phillies. So I would assume that if Cliff Lee does not get traded, he will start for the Phillies today. And if the trades do not go through, or if they do go through, then obviously he will not. And there is the possibility that he could start for the Dodgers.
Roy, so, the other day when he pitched on the 31st of July. I was at the game. And I got to tell you, one of the reasons they took him out early after 83 pitches. He pitched seven innings, but he could have finished easily.
Yeah.
I was sure they took him out because he was going to be traded that night as opposed to waived. Well, evidently, the trading deadline went by. He was not traded for, but they did waive him because he had to clear waivers before they could negotiate with him or something. Mm-hmm. And he did get picked up by L.A. That didn't surprise me because – and it's probably the best thing that could have happened to Cliff Lee. Now, you know, because the Phillies, I would say, are pretty much done for the next 3 or 4 years. They did sign Cole Hamels to a huge deal.
Yep.
Huge. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was $22.5 million for 6 years. It beat Matt Cain's deal by $1 million a year. And now a guy I'm not real fond of, but who is a very good pitcher, Cole Hamels. And by the way, the Nats kicked the crap out of him the other night. Oh, they hit him like they owned him. Cole Hamels will be in Philadelphia for a very long time, it looks like. And they can rebuild that franchise around him. Blanton just got traded. I'm trying to think where he went, but Blanton is on another team too. And I'm trying to think who it is. It might be the Arizona Diamondbacks. There are several teams that are still in it. Mm-hmm. Now we just did the picks in the National League. Let's do our picks in the American League, and then let's talk about the standings and who you and I think are going to be there when the smoke clears, so to speak. Mm-hmm. The Orioles are at the Rays. You know, I don't care if you hate Buck Showalter, if you're in New York or you know the guy. He's never really made people love him anywhere he's gone. But you got to look.
He's not a very lovable character.
No, but you got to look at the Baltimore Orioles and wonder how that team, which is not very good, that has having all kinds of pitching problems, is 56-51 after 107 games. Buck Showalter is the reason that they're winning. I mean, it's amazing. The difference between him and, for example, Bobby Valentine is minuscule. They're both very good game day managers, but neither one of them make people happy, if that makes sense to you. They're mm-hmm. both extremely arrogant. They're both cocky as the day is long, but you got to give it to Baltimore. Now, Baltimore has Gonzalez, who started out like gangbusters, but he's not playing all that well, and he's going up against David Price today. You got to take David Price, even at minus 240. David Price is going to win this game. David Price won 2-0 last time out. David Price, if you're a tweeter and you're on Twitter and you like to read Twitter, follow David Price. He's very, very friendly. He'll talk to just about anybody if he has time to read your tweets. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm playing him today. Mariners are at the Yankees. Do you like the Rays, by the way, against the Orioles, Roy?
I'm going to pass on this game.
Oh, so you think the Orioles may another Sunday win?
I think that there's a shot. The Orioles ended up winning last night. They beat the Rays 4-0. And
I know.
It's not that I like the Orioles pitching. It's not that they're dominant or anything like that, but they're doing enough to get by. And the Orioles of late, like you've said, they've been rallying together or whatever you want to call it. They're one of those teams that I don't want to bet on them, but I also don't want to bet against them right now, especially since they haven't been in this position since 1997. They haven't had a winning record.
Yeah, but you know what? The Yankees are making it easy for them because the Yankees seem to have a problem with the Orioles, and the Yankees seem to like – they remind me of the U.S. basketball team. They're just cruising. To me, now they've had a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong, but the Yankees should be more than 6.5 games out in front right now, and that's all they're in front of. Wouldn't you agree? Tampa Bay has a very average team this year.
Yeah,
they're only 6.5 games the Yankees in front of Tampa Bay right now.
Well, and the Orioles as well. They have the same record, and the Orioles. I'm looking at news out of Baltimore now. They claimed Nate McClouth. So
yeah, I saw that.
He will be with the team today.
Gives him another outfielder. You know, McClouth, I want to say, is a switch hitter too. And that gives him some flexibility in the outfield. He's known as a very good defensive outfielder. He's got real good speed. And that's something that the Orioles they're missing some guys like that. I mean, you look at their lineup, you know, Markakis finally is hitting the ball. J.J. Hardy is not. You know, Chris Davis is he's hitting 265. He's doing okay. Adam Jones is hitting just under 300. Weeders is starting to pick it up a little bit. McLeod went 2-for-4 yesterday. You know, I mean, Mark Reynolds, God help him, he's like Dave Kingman. Who does he remind you of? He reminds you of Adam Dunn. He either hits a bomb or he strikes out. But I got to tell you, the Mariners are playing the Yankees today. You see what happened with King Felix yesterday? He threw a two hitter against the Yankees.
He's a very
Yankee
good pitcher.
Stadium. He's unbelievable. They should just trade for him.
Well, they're talking about the newest rumors that I've heard is that King Felix, as you just called him, Felix Hernandez, is going to be in Philadelphia next year. Those are the newest rumors out there.
Well, you know, that would make sense because Philly has gotten rid of some guys, and they do need to stat. You know, they've got their left-hander who's going to be their number one or two. And now today, this kid named Iwakuma is going for the Mariners. This kid is a very good pitcher. Last time out, I want to say he only gave up 4 hits in 7 innings. He's going up against Garcia. Do you know what that line is, Roy? Minus 300. So you'd have to give up $3 to win a dollar in that. I'm passing on it. I mean, I like the Yankees, but Freddie Garcia is not doing anything for me.
Yeah,
he's not winning games. The next game is the Indians at the Tigers. Max Scherzer for the Tigers. The Tigers, Roy, are finally starting to win games. Have you noticed?
Yeah, I have. This is my team. I like the Tigers a lot. I had them go into the World Series.
Are you going to take them today?
Absolutely.
All right, you take the Tigers, I take the Tigers. Twins are at the Red Sox. Blackburn at Morales, I'm passing. It's just an ugly game. The Red Sox, 2 nights in a row, have blown a lead and lost to the Minnesota Twins. I'm passing, Roy.
Yeah,
I
don't want to touch that game.
All right, Derek Holland is going against Luke Hochschaver. You know, Texas should win this game. I don't know if you saw the highlights, but last night, on the same time around the bases, and I agreed with Josh Hamilton. His first base coach didn't tell him to go to second base when he should have on a throw to the plate. And the third base coach, he could have easily rounded third and scored, but the guy held him up. And he was like literally giving – he's so frustrated because they're not winning like they were. Now, don't get me wrong, Texas is 5.5 games out in front. But Oakland has like – been the hottest team in the American League in the last month.
Yep.
And they're only 5.5 games out. The Angels, everybody's expecting them to start winning games. So anybody in the West, Texas, Oakland, or LA can win. I'm going to pass on this game, though, because I think, you know, every time I play against the Royals, they win. And they suck.
they're pretty
terrible.
Bad.
But if I play against them, I guarantee you they'll win. What are you going to do?
The Rangers have been a very interesting team as late. They started out hot and they've kind of been in a standstill as of late. And I just don't like the Rangers. Although it is Sunday, so it's Josh Hamilton Day. But I'm gonna pass this game too.
Hell, he might not even start after yesterday.
Yeah, well, he's been slumping as late. That's why.
He's striking out a lot.
Yeah.
The Angels are at the White Sox. Liriano, who came from Minnesota, this is another deal that was done kind of at the last minute. Liriano is now pitching for the White Sox. That was a great move by them. Gave him a really quality left-hander to go along with Chris Sale, who is another quality all-star left-hander. You know who's pitching against him? Danny Heron. This game could go either way. Neither pitcher has had a good year.
Yeah.
Danny Heron's 8-8. Liriano is 3-10. And I wouldn't touch this game with a 10-foot pole. How about you, Roy?
I'm going to go White Sox.
You know, good for you. I had them last night, and I think they choked right at the end of the game on me. The Blue Jays are at the Athletics. Laffy has been fairly good. This kid Malone, you know him. He's a lefty that was with the Nationals. He went to the A's in the deal for Gio Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. And Malone started out like gangbusters. He's 9-8 now. He's 12. They're 12-9 in games that he pitches. I'm taking Malone and the A's. How about you?
I'm going to pass on this game.
Oh, good. That way you're not taking my teams. All right. Now let's go over the National League. We'll talk about the National League first, and we can talk a little bit about the Mets because I'm still interested in the Mets, but they're pretty much done in my opinion. Washington, you know what I was really amazed at, and I think that they're they're really being very careful not to let go of this guy. They're obviously, you know, most general managers, Roy, will tell you in baseball that anybody is available. Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
It depends on the deal. R.A. Dickey, to me, is a very interesting talent. He's no spring chicken. He's 36, 37 years old. But he can pitch every fourth game, not every fifth game. And Terry Collins has said that he will be pitching every fourth day once the next round of pitching, next rotation comes around.
Yeah.
I just think if they traded this guy, they could get all kinds of talent for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, what you touched on is his age. That's a big key. I mean,
yeah.
Who's going to be giving up the kind of prospects that they would want, you know, to get out of this guy, especially at his age? I understand he's a knuckleballer and all that can work, but we'll be right back on the other side. We'll get into this some more.
You got it, boy.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're going to finish up here on baseball, give you our picks, who we think is going to win each division, who we think is going to go on. Do we want to go ahead and give World Series picks, Bruce?
Well, no, I think it's too early to do that. I mean, we could do it, but then we'd probably end up changing our mind anyway. There's been so many injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially with the Yankees. I mean,
we wouldn't be allowed to change our minds.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about World Series picks in the beginning of August. Let's talk about World Series picks beginning of September. But let's talk about the National League first. The Washington Nationals, hey, John Kruk has picked them to go to the World Series.
Yeah.
I just want to see them go to the playoffs. They're three games out in front right now in the East. They're three games out in front of Atlanta, who's playing very well. Atlanta's got some pretty decent starting pitching. They have a decent bullpen as usual. They're hitting the ball okay. They're not a great hitting team, but you know what? They're very similar to other teams out there like Washington, who have a great staff. You know, the Washington Nationals have a great pitching staff, and then what they're starting to do is get timely hitting, like last night. I mean, they didn't even play particularly well, but they scored, you know, 10 runs last night. I mean, when you score 10 runs, you're going to win. I like Washington. You know, the Mets are probably – they're definitely out of it. They're not going to be in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, if the Mets are over 500, that would be good for the Mets if they could do that. So I'm taking Washington to win that division. I'm not going to pick the who do you like winning that division?
I like Washington in that division,
okay,
too.
Yeah, for the same reasons, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, they have a good pitching staff, which even when they do shut down Strasburg, they have a very good young pitcher in Detweiler, and then they have John Lennon, who was once upon a time this club's ace to fill in there. So I like Washington to win the division. I didn't pick them to win the division in the beginning of the season. I did have them in the playoffs. I actually had Philadelphia winning the division, but I like Atlanta a lot, and it's going to be a close race coming down. But I like Washington to hold off because of their starting pitching.
Atlanta's just a little too thin, Roy. You know, and you know what? They're very inconsistent. Plus, you got to deal with Chipper Jones, he's in there 1 week, and the next week, you know, he can't be found because he's injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a guy they need in the lineup every day, and Chipper just can't play every day. Now, in the Central Division, this is a very interesting division. The Cincinnati Bengals right now have won more games than anybody. The Cincinnati Reds have won more games than anybody in baseball. And I'm not a big Dusty Baker fan, but I cannot ignore the job he's done this year. Mm-hmm. They have played incredibly well. It's not a strong division because you've got Houston, who we just said had only won 3 out of 31 games, the Chicago Cubs, who nobody wants to play for, the Milwaukee Brewers, who, you know, the commissioner of baseball's family owns them, and they have a cheater playing for them. They're 10 games. They have a horrible pitching staff. But you have these next three teams, any one of them can still win it. Cincinnati, in my opinion, is not going to get much better. They're peaking right now. The Pittsburgh Pirates, Roy, are 14 games in over 500. This is the best year Pittsburgh's had in many, many years.
Yep.
And here's a team right here that Tony La Russa, you know, retired from, came back and coached the All-Star team and represented the National League and the St. Louis Cardinals in the All-Star game. How he was able to do that, I have no idea. But St. Louis right now has probably the best hitting team in baseball. Matt Holliday is on fire. They have decent pitching, not great pitching, but they're 8 games behind the Reds. Any one of those three teams can make the playoffs, in my opinion. What do you think, and who do you think is going to win it in the Central?
I got Cincinnati winning the Central. I think they have a very good mix of guys out there. Joey Votto is one of the league's best, and he's leading this team. I really like the Reds.
He may not be back for another month.
I like the Reds. I never thought I would say that. I like Pittsburgh, however, to make a wild card. But
I just don't think they're going to be a wild card ahead of Atlanta or Los Angeles or San Francisco.
Well, I have San Francisco winning the West. So.
Okay, so you don't have a wild card coming out of the West.
No,
you can't. You'd have to have it if you're going to have Atlanta and Pittsburgh in. You can't have a wild card out of the West.
Yes,
and I agree. I don't think a wild card's coming out of the West either. I think you could win the Western Division and maybe be. Only win 88 to 90 games. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at San Francisco right now. You know, I know the Giants real well. You know, they made a deal for Hunter Pence. They got a right fielder who's an all-star. Is he a good fit there? I don't know. Because right field in San Francisco, I think what you're going to see a lot with Hunter Pence is he'll start games in right field, but he may not finish a lot of them in right field. They may end up substituting for him defensively in the eighth or ninth inning. And then if they go into extra innings, they're in trouble. I have San Francisco winning this division. I have nobody coming out of it. Are you ready for this, Roy?
Let's hear it.
I have Cincinnati winning the division, but St. Louis is going to be a wild card. I think St. Louis and Atlanta are your two wild cards. Washington, Cincinnati, and San Francisco will win the division's outright.
So you have Washington, Cincinnati, San Francisco
winning.
St. Louis, Atlanta.
And I have St. Louis and I have Atlanta being the wild cards.
So we have the same division winners, but I have Pitt, you have St. Louis.
You know what? I'm pulling for Pittsburgh. I just don't see it. I just don't think they hit the ball well enough. And if anything happens to McCutcheon, it's over, to be honest with you. And he just had a ball thrown in his head yesterday. in the American League, and here's the Yankees. They're 62-44. They're 6.5 games out in front. I don't see anybody challenging them, but I don't see them running away from everybody. I mean, Tampa really hasn't played the kind of ball that they're capable of playing yet, and they do get Evan Longoria back in a couple of weeks. Tampa Bay could make a run for the wild card, but I'm not going to go there. I like New York winning it. Who do you like in that division?
Yeah, easily New York. I think New York runs away with this division.
Do you think Baltimore is going to be a wild card, or do you agree with me and think they'll be under 500 at the end of the year?
I don't think they'll be under 500 at the end of the year. I think that they'll have a solid year in terms of talking Baltimore baseball, but I don't see them in the wild card. I have I have Detroit. And
I don't blame him. I mean, Detroit could win it outright in the Central. And as a matter of fact, Chicago and Detroit are two very evenly matched teams. I love Chicago. I mean, and plus, you know, Robin Ventura, say what you want about the guy. And yeah, he got the crap kicked out of him by Nolan Ryan when he ran out to the mound a few years ago. There's like a billion of those pictures signed everywhere, but he's done a phenomenal job with them. I haven't talked to Hawk Harrelson yet this year. I'd like to have him on the show probably in the next couple of weeks because he could really give us a good idea about why Chicago is as good as they are and where he thinks they're going. But I'm going to take New York to win the East, Chicago to win the Central, and I have Detroit. I have Detroit being one of the wild cards, and I think that's what you just said, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
All right, in the West, who do you like? Do you think Oakland will overtake the Texas Rangers?
No.
Do you think the Anaheim Angels will overtake them?
The Angels have a shot, I think, more so at the wild card. I think a wild card is going to come out of this division, whether it be the Oakland A's or the Angels. I think that's your other wild card when you're talking about Detroit as my first.
I agree.
So I want Oakland to be the wild card, and that's where my heart is lying. But the Angels are, I mean, Trout is just lighting it up out there, and you can't sleep on Pujols, and so it's going to be a battle. But I'm going to go on a limb and say Oakland as that other wild card.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You know who was the hottest team in the American League in the last 10 to 15 days?
The Oakland.
Seattle was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're up to 51-58 now. They're only 13 and a half back of Texas. Hey, Roy, did you know
who's your wild card?
Who's my wild card?
Yeah, the AL.
I have two. I have Detroit, and I have I'm going to take the Angels. All absolutely. Right. Yeah, I don't see the. Hey, listen, Mike Trout is not going to let these guys lose. He's just too good, and that's your MVP, by the way, Mike Trout.
Okay.
All right. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Now, Bruce, before we get out of baseball and into the Olympics, which if you're watching on your NBC sports networks,
it's
then,
over.
Andy Murray has just defeated Federer for the gold in Olympic tennis.
Straight sets.
So,
I mean, he kicked his butt. I'm thinking that Roger just probably, you know, it wasn't something he absolutely had to do. The gold medal wasn't something Federer was dying for, and I'm pretty sure Federer's already got a gold medal. but Andy Murray, God help him, he needed that win in front of his home crowd. And I watched some of that. He played particularly well in the first set. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, in the first set, Federer looked like he was playing hard. It was just Murray was hitting a lot of passing shots and was putting the pressure on him, and he broke him twice. You know, you break somebody twice like Roger Federer, makes them think. If they don't come back the second set, it's usually over. Hey, by the way, I've got an update on Garrett Reed here, if you don't mind. Real quick, Roy, I want to read it.
Sure.
This is written by Jeff McClain, who's a Philadelphia Inquirer staff writer. He's like the best beat reporter up there, in my opinion. Garrett Reed was found dead in Lehigh University dorm room early Sunday morning, the Eagles said. Excuse me. The 29-year-old son of Eagles coach Andy Reed and his wife Tammy had been assisting the team, helping out with strength and conditioning during camp. Garrett Reed had a troubled past that involved drug addiction and a stint in prison. This is a tough morning for all of us in the Eagles family, Eagles general manager Howie Roseman said. Garrett grew up with his team, which makes this news even harder for us to process. Garrett is the eldest of the Reeds' five children. He was the oldest child. Roseman said that Andy Reed spent the morning informing his family and Eagles owners Jeffrey and Christina Lurie. Press conference with Jeff Lurie had been scheduled for Sunday at 1 but was canceled following the news of Garrett Reed's death. The news is heartbreaking for everyone in the Eagles family, Jeffrey Lurie said in a statement. Our hearts go out to Andy, his wife Tammy, and their children. Eagles offensive coordinator Marty Morningweg and defensive coordinator Juan Castillo oversaw the team's practice Sunday morning and will oversee the team until Reed returns. I mean, it says the chief of police at Lehigh said his office received a 911 call at approximately 7:20 a.m. this morning of an unresponsive male in the Sayre Park dorms. Upon arrival, attempts were made to revive the individual. They were unsuccessful. There were no suspicious activities. I personally pronounced Mr. Reed deceased at the scene. The investigation will be ongoing. The problem, Roy, and, you know, this guy's only 2 or 3 years older than you. You guys are basically the same age. The problem with drug abuse and alcohol abuse is even when you stop abusing it, stop doing it, it takes such a toll on your body that it opens you up to a variety of things that can happen physically to you. Does that make sense?
Of course.
And you know, these guys were doing heroin, cocaine, probably everything pretty much known, you know, to young kids that are into drugs. And sadly, whatever happened, happened. I hope that he wasn't doing drugs. You wouldn't think he is at training camp when he's there to help. But you know what? You just never know. And our hearts and prayers are out with Andy Reid and his family in this really, really, you know, tough time for them. And our hearts are out with the Philadelphia Eagle players who all knew him. A lot of people 2 years ago thought Andy Reid might not come back. You remember?
Yeah.
A lot of people thought that he needed to spend more time with his family, that maybe he needed to take care of this situation. The bottom line is, when you have kids that are adults, you can't do but so much for them. You know, I love my son to death. He's 22 years old, but he has to make decisions on his own. You know, he has to figure out what he needs to do to be successful, to be healthy. He needs to make good choices. I can't make them for him, right? Your dad can't make them for you, Roy, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest thing about being a parent, is not being able to tell them what you know is right. Plus, addiction is a horrible thing. There's a reason they call it addiction. You can't stop. It's hard to stop. People can't stop dipping tobacco, smokeless tobacco. People can't stop smoking cigarettes. People can't stop drinking alcohol. People can't stop smoking marijuana. There's a million things people can't stop doing. And rather than get into this, I'll just leave it at that. People that are in our listening audience, please hug your kids. You don't know how long anybody's going to be with you. All right, Roy, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the Olympics.
Well, let's get it. Let's get our fantasy baseball picks in before we move on.
Oh, you
want to
do that again? You want to get beat again this week?
Well, you barely beat me. It came down to Robinson Cano.
Well, I'm just glad I won something this week.
You did win that.
You know,
I got
shoot.
Your picks.
All right, go ahead. Are we talking about today's games?
Yep.
All right.
You won last week.
What do we get? We get two pitchers.
Two pitchers and three position players. And since you won, I'll give you first pick again.
All right. I'm going to take Loesch of the Cardinals as one of my pitchers.
Okay. I am going to take Jose Reyes.
I don't even have Jose Reyes? I don't even have him as pitching today, but you take him.
No, Reyes of the Marlins. Not a pitcher. I don't want a pitcher.
All right. Here's who I'm going to take. Oh, you're taking Reyes as a position player.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even care about it. I'm going to take my pitchers first.
He's been lighting it up against the Nationals.
I'm going to take Scherzer, the Tiger pitcher, as my pitcher.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to take A.J. Burnett of the
My last pick. All right. You're taking Burnett. I'm going to take You know what? I'm going to take Cliff Lee if he's pitching. Can I give you, and I'll give you another pitcher later.
Well, it's two pitchers. Three
position
players.
Oh, I just get two pitchers? Oh, yeah. Okay, so I got my pitchers.
Yeah, you got your pitchers.
My bad. All right, here you go. You ready?
Yeah.
Now, this is going to be against – I can't take a Yankee. They're not hitting. I'm not going to take an A. They didn't hit yesterday. Texas is due. The Rangers are due. You know what? I'm going to take Ian Kinsler as one of my hitters. Go ahead.
I'm going to take a guy that you mentioned earlier in the show who has to put a team on his back, being Mr. Mike Trout.
That's a good pick. I can't believe you took Mike Trout. I really can't. I'm going to take Melky Cabrera in Colorado. That's got to be a good pick. Go ahead.
I'm going to stay with the rookie trend, and I'm going to take Bryce Harper.
You're taking Bryce?
Yeah.
You know who I'm taking?
Who's that?
It's not Espinoza, I can tell you that.
He's been hot lately.
Yeah, he's real hot. He was 1-for-19 until he hit that 3-run bomb last night. 1-for-19. Yeah, he's hot. God, you must be thinking way back. You know who I'm going to take? I'm going to take LaRoche, first baseman for the Nats.
All right. And then I need one more pitcher. So I'm going to go to the Oakland Athletics, and I'm going to take Malone.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's a good pick. Didn't we both take Malone today, or I took him? I don't think you
took
passed.
Him. Yeah, I passed
took
game.
Him, though. I took him. All right, now let's talk about the Olympics. Right now, okay, and this is what sports talk radio has done all week. Is Michael Phelps the best Olympian ever? You know, I'm going to say this. He's the best swimmer ever, okay? Because you can't compare apples and oranges, in my opinion. You just can't do it. Can you? I can't. You can't compare Carl Lewis to Michael Phelps. Okay?
I would make an argument that, yeah, I do believe that Michael Phelps is the greatest Olympian, at least, you know.
Do you think – well, let me ask you this then. Do you think it's the bong hits that he does on a regular basis that make him that way?
I think it's his consistency. I mean, he's done it now. What, is this his fourth Olympics? So,
no, it's his third. It's his third Olympics.
Is it his third?
Yeah, he's only been in three.
Well, regardless, he has dominated in all Olympics. This was supposed to be his down year.
This is technically his down year, but he's swam incredibly well.
What did he missed placing in one event, and he medaled in all others.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I would make the case that the U.S. volleyball players have to be up there. Mays, I mean, that's their. This is their. What, fifth?
Are you talking about the beach volleyball guys?
Yeah, yeah. Is this their fifth Olympics? They're going for a fifth gold, I believe.
No, well, the one beach volleyball guys got beat yesterday.
No,
didn't
the girls.
They?
The girls.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah, but you know what? If you're going to talk about girls, you got to talk about the swimmers. The girls swimmers are the best anywhere. Katie Ledecky, 15 years old. The missile. What is she? 17? I mean, these girls are unbelievable, and they blew away everybody in the relays. Everybody. You can't and let's not forget about the girls' gymnastics. Those little girls are unbelievable. And oh, by the way, Gabby.
Yeah, Gabby
girl
Douglas.
From Virginia Beach. Virginia, thank you. She she's gonna be signing two deals, one with Kellogg's, Visa, I think, for over $100 million.
Yeah, she's set. She's got her Kellogg's. What is it? Some sort of flakes or something like that.
Cornflakes.
Oh, it's cornflakes. Yeah, it's not Frosted Flakes. It's cornflakes.
Or Raisin Bran. Hell,
she was holding up her cereal box, taking pictures the other day. But Misty May and Kerry Walsh are the volleyball players that I'm talking about. And I think they're up there for greatest Olympian ever. I mean, if you're talking about Phelps, which he's the most decorated, yes, but there's more events in swimming than there is in women's volleyball. There's one gold medal, and it. Since Misty May and Kerry Walsh have been competitors, it's going to them. So I think you have to mention them when you're talking about best ever, because just how dominant they've been.
No, you know what? I agree. Now, let me ask you this. We're going to talk about this when we come back. But for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Now, sticking with the Olympics, last night was the 4x100. And if you believe what Phelps is saying, it was his last event. And, last night, I say last night because that's when it was aired on television. But
that was the medley last night. Yeah, that was great.
It was the 4x100 medley relay. And
it was unreal.
It was basically Phelps and Lochte's show. And they were down when the when Phelps entered the water.
Well,
they
were down. Roy. Lochte didn't even swim in that event.
He was the anchor, wasn't he?
No. The kid that anchored that event was the kid that won the 50 free.
Oh, really?
He was amazing. And I'll tell you his name. I'm sitting here hunting around for it right now. The thing that's so wild about doing this show out of like my little studio in my home is I have so much neat stuff to get me sidetracked here that I'm looking at everything. Talking about beach volleyball, the girls you're talking about is Carrie Walsh Jennings.
Yeah.
And Misty May Trainer.
Yep.
They're both from Costa Mesa. They're unbelievable. They're fun to watch too. The men played well, but you know the big guy got hurt. His knees were killing him evidently, and he didn't do all that great. In men's volleyball, even though we lost to Russia, the United States still leads in points in Group B in men's volleyball. But the 4x100 medley relay.
Yeah, it was
let me
Nathan
tell you,
Adrian was. The,
yeah, Adrian was the kid. He was the kid that won the 100 free.
And he tore it up.
He won a gold medal. All Adrian wanted to do when he ran the 100 earlier, like about 3 days ago, was he wanted a medal. He won a gold.
Yeah.
He wasn't expecting a gold. He beat two guys that had times better than him, and he did it. But Nathan Adrian, who's a kid from state of Washington, he, in my opinion, is the guy that really took. Now, Phelps, if you watch the event, Michael Phelps, when he dove in the water for the butterfly, mm-hmm. he was a good second behind. When he hit the wall, turning it over to Adrian, he was a full second and a half ahead. So his butterfly made the difference. The guy that did the breaststroke did not give the lead to Phelps.
No, Japan had the lead when it was Brandon Hansen was the breaststroker, and he fell behind. Matt Grievers was the backstroker, and he had a slight lead. And when the breaststroker entered, they fell a little bit behind Japan, like you were saying. And then Phelps got him a lead, and Nathan Adrian, man, they finished 2 full seconds ahead of Japan. So
now listen, yeah,
he killed it.
Yeah, he did. And you know what? Those are so exciting to watch. I mean, because you find yourself standing up screaming. And you know what? I don't even care. You know, there was a lot of talk, Roy, about, you know, is it a big deal having this be, you know, delayed? Is it a big deal knowing who wins? You know what? No, it's not. Because I find myself watching it anyway. And they did a poll. Evidently, NBC hired somebody to do a huge poll in the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. And what they found, and they may have reported this the way they reported it, even if they didn't find out that this was the actual results. But I see why people would like to watch it, even if they knew. To me, it doesn't make any difference. The only thing I don't like watching is I don't like watching the San Francisco Giants knowing if they've won. I'd rather fast forward through all the commercials and watch a 2.5 hour game in 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Of course.
Now look, in the women's 4x100 medley last night, Missy Franklin, the missile from Colorado, she led off, and then Rebecca Soni, she swam the breaststroke, and then Dana Vollmer went with the butterfly, and she had an incredible split. And when she turned it over to Allison Schmidt, who is the oldest swimmer still swimming, mm-hmm. I want to say Allison's in her low, like 23, 24. She took off. And I mean, I want to say she won by 3 seconds, didn't she? I'm looking at the times now. It looks like they ran a 3:52.05. Silver was 3:54.02. Almost a full 2 seconds. A full 2 seconds in swimming is almost a body length and a half.
And 2 seconds is a big, very big lead.
Yeah, it is a big lead. And they did incredible. Now I got to tell you, they've already run the 100-meter final, I think, in the women's, mm-hmm. and that's going to be on later today.
Yeah, they have the updated medal count now, and China has actually taken the lead.
Have they?
Yeah, China has 58, United States 56. China has 28 golds to the United States 27.
Right. Let me ask you this. Are you privy right now to knowing the times of the track and field finals? Do you have that anywhere? Because that to me would be very important.
I can pull it up.
Yeah, if you could pull that up, that'd be great. Because I want to talk a little bit about that.
Speaking of track and field, there's the guy out of South Africa, Oscar. I'm probably going to say his last name completely wrong because I said Lochte wrong. But this is Oscar Pistorius.
Yeah,
and
I thought he was Greek because of his name.
He's a double amputee. He was his legs were amputated at 11 months old, so he basically it looks like it's pretty much mid shin is what it looks like. So he has these they're called blades or they're called cheetahs.
Cheetahs,
and
like the fast animal.
Mm-hmm. And he is running in the Olympics.
And there is no advantage to having these. In other words,
well, that's been under debate.
Well, no, they've created this. Well, if you watch him, mm-hmm. One of the things that you know, Wounded Warriors and knowing, you know, having played golf with some of these guys and having met some of these guys, one of the hardest things for an amputee, a double amputee, especially to learn how to do, is to control, you know, their muscles in their thighs, from their hips into their thighs. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that this guy has to be able to do is he has to be able to move his thighs and the cheetahs at a high rate of speed, just like he would if he had muscles. Now, the only thing he doesn't get that I feel might be an advantage to not having the cheetahs and having your own legs is he doesn't really get any calf help. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you do have muscles in your calf. These cheetahs don't have muscles. So I think that, you know, even though the sprinters, if you look at sprinters, most sprinters have big, big, big thighs. They have very strong quads, very strong hamstrings, and their calves are very small. They're very thin. Very rarely, you'll never see a big calf guy be a sprinter. You know what I'm saying, Roy? Mm-hmm. Those guys are all built like Darryl Green, or they're, you know what I mean? And even basketball players that run the floor very fast. A lot, like, remember Michael Jordan? Remember how skinny his calves were?
I do remember Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan could move pretty quick, you know? And a lot of those guys are like that. I think that it's a trade-off. I don't think there's any advantage whatsoever for this guy to be wearing those. And you know what? I hope he wins a gold medal. Because I don't think he will, because I think there's probably at least 5 or 6 people that have faster times than he does right now. Now, he did place in his heat yesterday, and I'm sure they're going to be racing soon today, but he placed in his heat second yesterday, and he looked like he was in pretty good condition. If you've ever run track, Roy, and I don't know if you have, I did not. The 400 meters is the most demanding race possible because it's basically a sprint one time around the track. If you want to get in great shape, people, and you're young, or if you're old and you go to a doctor and he says you're okay, start running, run 400s. Run one time around a high school track as fast as you can, then walk once around the track, then run around the track, then walk around the track. First couple times you do it, you won't be able to do it more than twice. But these guys train so hard, they fly around that track. One of the greatest things I ever saw was in Atlanta in 1996. I was down there for 2.5 weeks, Roy, and I watched Michael Johnson break the 400-meter record in 96. I was in the second row right before you get to the finish line, so when they came around the last turn, I could see everybody coming. He was literally a foot off the ground when he was running. He was up in the air. I mean, they move so fast, and I love the 400 meters. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking about the Olympics. We're talking about how lucky it is to be able to watch these athletes every 4 years. I almost wish they'd have the Olympics every 2 years.
You get the Winter Olympics every 2 years, and then they trade off. So technically you do get a Olympics.
Well, you know, I'm not a big Winter Olympics guy. You know, I really am not. I don't really understand skiing because, hell, I used to fall off on the bunny hop slope. I couldn't even take the tow rope up without wiping out. So I can't relate to that, but I can relate to basketball. Mm-hmm. I can relate. Hey, and here's another thing. Give us a call, Roy. What number do they need to call in on?
It's 240-317-7294. But we do have some news on the other side of the break. We're coming up on a break. We're not there yet, but I just want to give a little forwarding to what we're going to be talking about towards the end of the show. We do have some NFL news to report on, that being Hall of Fame inductees. So we do have some Hall of Fame inductees to talk about.
Hey, some really good players, too.
A New York Giant gets in. And then we have preseason starting next week. It wouldn't be a New York talk show if we didn't get into the Mark Sanchez, Tim Tebow scrimmage that happened. But this, finishing up on this Olympics, would you put Michael Phelps in a class with, say, Michael Jordan, you know, Bo Jackson, Jerry Rice, whoever you might say was the greatest of their sport?
Absolutely. In my opinion, Michael Phelps has been the greatest swimmer of our time that we've ever known, without a doubt.
Would you call him the greatest Olympian ever?
No, I wouldn't, because I don't think it's fair to the track and field people. In track and field, you can only run a certain amount of races. In swimming, somehow, these superstar swimmers like Phelps and like the Missile, you know what I mean? They seem to be able to race freestyle. You know, they seem to be able to race, you know, butterfly. They seem to be good backstrokers. They seem to be medley people. Mm-hmm. There's just so many more events for swimming than there are for track and field. Think about this, Roy. If you're a sprinter, you're going to run the 100, the 200, and the broad jump. That's it. That's your three events. You don't see 400 guys that run the 100. You don't see too many long jumpers that are nothing but long jumpers. Most long jumpers nowadays only long jump. In the old days, the good 100-meter guys, Bob Hayes, Carl Lewis, those guys long jump too because they're so damn fast.
At times have definitely changed, I guess, with the Olympians, and there's more single event-specific athletes nowadays. But we are, I guess, enjoy the rest of the Olympics, everybody. But and we're going to a break right now. And on the other side, we're going to get into some NFL. You may have heard of it. It's a good sport.
I can't wait for that.
So we'll be right back.
Yep.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
As I'm looking at the inductees to the NFL Hall of Fame, the speeches are going on now, or they've just wrapped up, I guess. So, Curtis...
Boy, that was early. I guess that's in an effort to... Because they play a football game at 2, right?
Yeah, it's the Saints versus the Cardinals.
Oh, and by the way, if you want to know who I like in that game, I'm going to tell you. I'm not even going to give you my 800 number. I'm going to tell you right now. It's not the Saints. It's not the Saints. Saints are going to have a tough time in this game because the Saints have just got so much going on right now. The Saints' practices have been okay. They really don't have the leadership that Wiz and Hunt. And I'll tell you another thing, too. The Saints have Drew Brees. He may play one quarter, maybe even a quarter and a half. The Arizona Cardinals have 2 starters. You know, they got John Skelton as their backup. John Skelton won 6 games last year. So, you know, I think the D-backs are going to probably win this game. I just think it's better fitting that they're going to win this game. I just don't see the New Orleans Saints. And that's also on it's not that great of a field. It's more suited for natural grass. So I'm taking them. All right.
I believe you meant the Arizona Cardinals, not the D-backs.
Yeah, that's what I meant. When I say Diamondbacks?
Yeah.
Can you tell I love baseball?
Yeah, you're stuck in your baseball.
Well, I'm stuck. I'm sitting here sipping cold coffee, too. I'm trying to clear my throat up. It's awful hard when you have a bad throat and water doesn't even help. I'm just going after the coffee now, Matt.
But we do...
That's really good coffee.
The people who got inducted... would be Jack Butler, who
I don't even know who that is.
He
talk to me. 1940s, 50s.
He was a Pittsburgh Steeler from 1951 to 1959.
Well, that's why I don't know him, because I didn't become a football fan till 60, 61, 62. I was born in 53.
He was a 4-time Pro Bowl selection in 55, 56, 57, and 58. 3-time first team All-Pro. He's a Pittsburgh Steeler all-time team member.
What position did he play, Roy?
It looks like he was a linebacker.
Yeah, he probably only weighed 190
pounds.
I'm sorry,
he's a cornerback. I'm sorry.
Oh, he probably weighed like 175.
But
right, who else?
He had 52 interceptions,
yeah.
4 touchdowns.
Go to the next guy. I don't know that guy. Willie Rofe made it.
Dermonte Dawson. Mm-hmm.
He was a center for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, so the Steelers get 2 guys.
He was really good.
Then Chris Dolman.
Oh, Chris Dolman, defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings. He was a monster. What did he have, 200 sacks?
He had 150 and a half.
God, that's a lot of sacks.
8 interceptions, 2 touchdowns.
Chris Dolman.
8-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, he's pretty much, he got in his first year. Willie Rofe got in his first year, too. Willie Rofe was the first left tackle that was really a killer left tackle. Willie Rofe, I want to say 6'7", 310, when everybody else weighed 270 pounds. Do you see Willie Rofe?
I don't see Willie Rofe.
Oh, well, maybe he's in next year.
I see Cortez Kennedy.
Cortez Kennedy, nose tackle for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
Cortez Kennedy's a monster. Great player. And he got in this year?
That's what it says, yeah.
Good for him. I like Tez. His nickname was Tez.
And then last but not least, New York's own Curtis Martin.
You know what? I want to say he's 3rd or 4th in rushing lifetime. Behind Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, and somebody else. I tell you what, he was an amazing back. And you know what I liked about him? If you watch any of the television this week, they keep showing the same clip on the 4-letter network, mm-hmm. who goes on, you know, we don't want to talk about him. And by the way, they're covering the Jets 99% of the time.
Yeah, really.
There's a lot of talk about that, too. Must be some money changing hands there. I don't know, but
his name's Tim Tebow.
He's, you know, yeah,
and the
exactly.
Ratings come in.
Hey, remember Denver last year? It was like that in Denver.
Yeah, we mentioned his name and we get good ratings. That's why we might be contracted. Are we under contract to say Tim Tebow twice a show?
No, but we can say Tim Tebow anytime we want. Hey, Tim Tebow. You know what I like? I like the fact that evidently, I don't think Tim has a hard time with anybody. So he'll get along with the starting QB, Sanchez. Mm-hmm. But Sanchez, in my opinion, he seems to be doing okay with Tebow, don't you? And I'll tell you what's making him
one of the reporters called him Tim. Did you see that?
Hey, no, but I believe it.
He said, "Hey Tim," and he just looked at the guy and he goes, "I'm Mark."
Dude, I just called a team the wrong. I just called the Arizona Cardinals the Arizona Diamondbacks. Hey, listen, let me tell you something about Mark Sanchez. He's a class act.
Yeah.
No matter what anybody says about him, you know, he is a class act. Is he going to be an all-pro quarterback one day? No.
Maybe.
Is he?
You can't. I think it's still too early
no,
for you to say that.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Look, this is his fifth year in the league.
Yeah.
He's been on a team that was in two AFC championship games,
yeah,
and he still is going to throw for about a 80 quarterback rating. He's just not a very accurate quarterback, and he doesn't have a very good arm. And you know what I think is really bad about Mark? When he gets into the red zone, I think he tightens up.
Well, that's why they put in a new package.
Well, they're putting in a package because Tebow's 260. And he can run a 4.5 40.
Yeah, they designed an entire red zone offense for Tim Tebow.
They're going to let him roll out, Roy. Mm-hmm. He's going to roll out. He's going to run quarterback draws. They're going to run. They'll probably run a wishbone.
But back to Curtis Martin for his career statistics.
He said he didn't even like football. He didn't even like football.
Third all time in rush attempts. He's fourth all time in rush yards with 14,101.
By the way, that came off the top of my head. Thank you.
He is seventh all-time yards from scrimmage with just under 17.5.
And he retired healthy.
17,430 career.
He retired healthy. Did you see him? He looks great. He looks great. Emmitt Smith retired healthy. You know, Emmitt Smith never really got hurt.
And then he's third all-time consecutive regular season starts with 119.
You know, he was a Jet and a New England Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't play for anybody else, I don't think.
Nope.
If he did, I don't remember him playing for anybody else. But I will say this. He quit on top. I want to say his last year, he got injured, but he still had 1,000 yards. And that says a lot. I mean, it says a lot. By the way, that guy with a funny name from the University of Connecticut that looks like he thinks he's on a GQ magazine centerfold. What's his name? He's got a funny name. Anyway, they're playing China right now, the girls.
Oh, the
United States girls in basketball.
Oh, you're talking about the UConn coach.
Dude, I'm watching this. I'm looking at a 61-inch Mitsubishi 4 feet from my face watching basketball right now. This is so cool. Hey, talk to me about somebody else. Did anybody else get in besides the ones you just said?
It doesn't look like it. A couple of the snubs would be
Bill. Who got snubbed?
Bill Parcells would be one of the snubs.
Excuse me for really? He got snubbed? Do you know why?
Tell me why, Bruce.
Because he's a prick. Keep going. Who else?
Oh, man. Oh, wait.
No, I'm just being honest.
I'm sorry. There is a couple more.
All right. Who else? Who gets
Willie Rofe. There he is. You did see,
that's
see
the
he
guy,
did get in.
Willie will get in next time.
No, he got in. He did get in.
Well, I told you he got in, and you said he didn't.
Well, he's not on the front page. For some reason, they don't have him on the front page. You got to scroll.
All right. Here you go. Willie Rofe played 10 years for the New Orleans Saints, right? 10 or 11?
I don't have his stats up.
All right, but he was the best left tackle in football, and he retired healthy. And the last time I saw Willie Rofe, he looked like he had lost 30 or 40 pounds. He looked great.
Well, he's a big boy.
He's a tall
he's
guy.
He's still a very big boy.
You know, he had to retire because of his knees. He had a left knee that just was giving him too much. And he could have had an operation, and he refused it.
He was a Saint, and he played a couple years with the Chiefs, too.
Yeah, he signed with the Chiefs late. He was like a free agent, and he got a ton of money to go to Kansas City. So who
11
else got
time
snubbed?
Pro Bowler.
Yeah, he was 11 years. Was I right? Pretty close. Mm-hmm. All right. What else do we need to talk about? Let's talk about training camp. What's going on? What's going on in Giant camp? I'm sitting here, you know, I've been reading about the Giants camp, mm-hmm. been talking about a lot of guys. Evidently, things are moving right along in New York. Now, they're in Albany, I think.
Yeah.
And the Jets are in, they're in Cortland. Mm-hmm. They're at Cortland State, which yep. is in New York also. But all we're hearing about, Roy, are the New York Jets.
Well, yeah, that's, if you're a Giants fan, that's good news. Because,
well, you know what? You don't want a lot of light on you.
Exactly. And the Giants, for the Giants, it's business as usual. And that's a good thing that there is no real news to report out of Giants camp, because that means everything's going just fine. That means Eli is on point. He's his normal self. Everything's clicking. You don't want a lot of news out of Giants camp. Let all the news be on the Jets and their quarterback controversy. Let reporters go in and call the starting quarterback Tim Tebow and let all that happen. Let that, and then just let the Giants do their thing and keep winning. I mean, there's a reason why the Giants have two Super Bowls in recent years and the Jets don't. And the Jets go to the AFC Championship and get bounced. And there's a reason why that the Jets have been up one year and then down the next. So,
Let's talk briefly about what we plan on doing on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion the next 4 weeks. The next 4 weeks, one of those weeks, we're going to be in New York. You know, we've already decided. We're not sure which weekend it's going to be. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a couple of – we may have a get-together at Augie's in Larchmont. But we're going to come up and we're probably going to work one of the Boulders games. And by the way, the Boulders have been drawn like crazy, evidently. They have so many things going on. Mia Hamm, I'm looking on Twitter. All our thoughts and prayers are with Kirk Urso's family, friends, and teammates. That was the guy you were talking about, Matt was talking about, that passed away yesterday on the field, I mm-hmm. think.
No, maybe not home.
In the field.
He was at home doing rehab.
That's right. You said he was doing rehab. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here looking, everybody is sending their condolences to the Reeds, everybody. Everybody's all excited
in
London.
And we do, of course, as well.
Yeah, we do too. I mean, Andy Reid, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your entire life, loses his oldest son, Garrett, at the age of 29.
But August 25th is, I believe, this is what Kyle has tweeted me. August 25th is WFAS Day. Coming up with the Rockland Boulders. So I believe that's the day that we were shooting up about getting up there.
We're going.
And Kyle, pull your strings, buddy.
I
want to throw out the opening pitch.
Kyle, make it happen. I wear a size 8 hat. 8.